The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 7, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 27th, 2010, in Wellington, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 6, chapter number 7. Text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om
Ko grihad yet pandito lakshmim, ko rizet pandito lakshmim, tripishtapa paterapi, tripishtapa paterapi, yayaham asaram bhavam, samasaram bhavam, nityodhya vibhudeshvara. Nityodhya Vividheshvara. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although I am a king of the demigods who is situated in the mode of goodness, I was proud of a little opulence and polluted by false ego. Under the circumstances, who in this world would accept such riches at the risk of falling down? Alas, I condemn my wealth and opulence. This is Indra. He defended his guru. And now he's greatly lamenting what he has done. Guru Aparad. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. CC Yancha 20:29 Sikshashtaka 4. O my Lord, I do not aspire for material opulence or wealth, nor do I want a great number of followers to accept me as their leader, nor do I want a very beautiful wife to please me. Mama janmani janmani shvade bhavatat bhaktirahai takitvai. I do not even want liberation. All I want, life after life, is to be a faithful servant of your lordship. According to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded. And this is truth both individually and collectively. The demigods are situated in the mode of goodness. But sometimes, even when one is situated in such an exalted position as King Indra, the king of all demigods, falls down because of material opulence. We are now actually seeing this in America. The entire American nation has tried to advance in material opulence without striving to produce ideal human beings. The result is that Americans are now regretting the wholesale criminality of the American society and are wondering how America has become so lawless and unmanageable. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.31, Natevidu Shvartagatam Hivishnum. Persons who are unenlightened do not know the aim of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, both individually and collectively, they try to enjoy so-called material comforts, and they become addicted to wine and women. The men produced in such a society are less than fourth class. They are the unwanted population known as Varna Sankara. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita, an increase of Varna Sankara population creates a hellish society. This is the society in which Americans now find themselves. Fortunately, however, the Hare Krishna movement has come to America. And many fortunate young men are giving serious attention to this movement, which is creating ideal men of first-class character. Men who completely refrain from meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. If the American people are serious about curbing the degraded criminal life of their nation, they must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and try to create the kind of human society advised in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, Bhagavad Gita 4.13. They must divide their society into first-class men, second-class men, third-class men, and fourth-class men. Since now they are creating only men who are less than fourth-class, how can they avoid the dangers of a criminal society? Long, long ago, Lord Indra regretted his disrespect to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Similarly, it is advised that the American people regret their mistaken advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do so, they will be happy, and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Radhakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So Srila Prabhupada is giving very wonderful description of how a nation, in this case the American nation, it can apply to any nation, New Zealand also, same principle. If any nation of the world, whether it be New Zealand, Australia, America, any nation, can establish this Krishna consciousness principle as the guiding principle of the society, it's not that everyone will be Krishna conscious, you see. But if the first class men, the Krishna, those persons who are Krishna conscious, if they can be recognized as leading members of the society, you see, even if everybody else cannot follow strictly, even if it remains fourth class men, of course, here is described. You see, now we have less than fourth class. That is the problem. Fourth class means the Sudra class, they are obedient to the higher caste. They are humble servants of the higher class. Higher classes. So Prabhupada is saying that they should take advice from the spiritual master. So, if the modern day society can realize and regret how foolish they are to have based an entire so-called world civilization on the false premise that I am this body, and realize that we're going nowhere, our modern society is going nowhere. What are we doing? Polluting the air, polluting the Gulf of Mexico. But it's just crazy. What should be a heavenly atmosphere, and formerly was a very heavenly atmosphere on this planet, is becoming more and more a hell with every passing day. So they should take advice from the spiritual master on how to arrange the society in such a way that is guided by the first classmen, the Brahmin class. Nowadays, the political leaders are considered the leaders of the society. That's wrong. That's a mistake. They are not. The political leaders are not meant to be the actual leaders of the society. The actual leaders are the Brahmin, those who are the devotees. They're the actual leaders. Those who know what is the absolute truth, Jnan, those who live the absolute truth. Shama dhamastapa shocham shanchir arjama mevacha jnanam viganam asti kyam ramakarma svabhavajam. This is the actual leaders of society. And what are those symptoms? Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, shama dhamma, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, honesty. Knowledge, Vedic knowledge, the application of that knowledge, and full faith. These are the qualities from which the Brahmins learn. So, they must now hear of the bona fide spiritual master. They must be willing to be trained up by the bona fide spiritual master. The political leaders should be coming to the spiritual master, and they should be inquiring, how can I run this country in such a way to please Srila Prabhupada, you see. This is why this book distribution is the most important thing, because Prabhupada's books are the guiding principles by which all the problems of the whole world can be solved. So the more we can distribute these books, the more we are establishing Vedic culture on this planet. So when they read the books and they decide, well, Prabhupada really is the authority, I want to base my life on Prabhupada's teachings now, who will help me to do that? Who will train me how to do that? And it has to be first class Prabhupada Nugas, followers of Srila Prabhupada, who can guide them in how to do them. In Eastern Europe, several years ago, the government was appreciating Prabhupada's books, and they asked the devotees, if you can give us some, help us to how to run the country according to Prabhupada's books. And so we don't know. That was a great failure, you see. We should be prepared if the government leaders decide that now we want to base our New Zealand on Prabhupada's books, and they come to you, then you must be prepared. You see, you must be prepared to give them practical instructions. So that means we can't be, you know, fifth class, fourth class, third class, and even second class devotees. We have to become first class devotees. Men and women of ideal character, yad yad acharati shreshastattare vetarojana siyat pramanam kurute lokastada nivartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, as I many times explained, I have my kurtas made one shop in Loy Bazar, Ganga Pasha. Maybe you have seen that shop. And So you go there, you see, well, they have their Klathwala Parampara. It's been going on for many generations, you see. So that's their family business, cloth, you see, Klathwala. So in ISKCON, we also have our family business. So what is our family business? It's produce acharyas, you see. It is our family business. We are an acharya business. Prabhupada told us how the Ritviks can handle this. But Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000, and then we will go to 100,000, and then we will go to 1 million, and then we will go to 10 million. There will be no scarcity of acharya. So these Ritviks are saying, only one acharya. But Prabhupada had a different vision than the Ritviks did. So I prefer the Prabhupada vision. You see, actually, the one who is behind this Back to Prabhupada magazine, Krishnakant Desai, in the UK. I one time had a debate with him in the email. We had a forum called the Initiation Forum, and he and I had a debate. And the final thing was, I said, well, Prabhupada encouraged me to be a spiritual master. He did. I have a letter from Prabhupada. Encouraged me. And you're telling me no. So who am I supposed to listen to? To you or my spiritual master? He couldn't say a word. Because either way, if he said anything, he's defeated. No, you should listen to me. You shouldn't listen to Prabhupada. You should listen to me. Then he's defeated. He says you should listen to Prabhupada, and then he's defeated also. So he couldn't say a word, but they still produce their rubbish magazine, even though he was totally defeated. He still produces the rubbish magazine.
Louder,
please.
I was saying because you said that in debate with him, so he's putting you also in the magazine.
He's doing what you say?
He's putting you in the magazine now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm I've
because
made my
had a debate with him.
Which magazine is this?
No, it's actually being their magazine of prestige. It means you're doing some preaching. You're actually having some impact. If you're not in their magazine, it means you're not having any impact as a preacher. So if you're having some impact as a preacher, then you make it in the Back to Prabhupada magazine. So you know, well, I'm going to be doing some good preaching. They feel the weight of my preaching, so now they have to make some propaganda against me. You see? So it's actually a glorification to be blasphemed in Practice Prabhupada magazine. It means you're having some impact as a preacher. They think, oh, this one is substantial. We have to smash him, you know. So I took it as a great honor that I was being blasphemed in Practice Prabhupada magazine. So anyway, the point is that every one of us is meant to be an ideal leader. I mean, what if you were the only devotee left on the planet? All the other devotees somehow went back to Godhead, you know. And you were left, and the whole ISKCON was on your shoulders. What would you do? Would you say, I can't handle this, then just turn on the television and forget about it, you know? Just turn on the cartoons and watch Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and say, I can't handle this, you know, it's too much. Or would you think, no, all the other devotees have gone back to Prabhupada, to Godhead, and Prabhupada also. They've gone back to be with Prabhupada in the spiritual world. Have their sitting there at Prabhupada's lotus feet, having wonderful katha with Prabhupada. And now I'm somehow left here in this material world to hold down the fort for the previous acharyas, and it's my duty now to become an acharya, an ideal example who can inspire the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. Just consider if you're in that position, what would you do? How serious would you chant your rounds? How seriously would you study Prabhupada's books? How seriously would you follow the principles? How seriously would you preach to others? You see? So why not do that now? I mean, just why not be in that serious mood now? Because that's what it means to be an acharya, you see? One who takes responsibility for delivering the entire planet, you see, by his thoughts, his words, and his deeds. Why not just do it now? Because if we have, like Prabhupada said, 10 million acharyas, so even if, you know, I might be able to be a perfect acharya, I still got some contamination. Even you can't be a perfect acharya because you still got some contamination. If we all work together to try to be as ideal as possible acharyas, you see, ideal examples, living embodiment. Acharya means a living embodiment of the scriptures. It's like Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya has two meanings. It means serving the pure devotee and studying the Bhagavatam. There's the person Bhagavatam, that's the acharya, the person who is a living embodiment of the scriptures. And everything he does is Bhagavatam. His life is Bhagavatam. Just by observing his activities, it's as good as studying the Bhagavatam, you see. So if all of us are striving to be pure devotees like them, even if none of us are really completely pure, like Prabhupada did, if all of us are striving to be completely as pure as possible, then that synergy of, you know, 10 million devotees all striving to be pure, that will have, then Prabhupada will, potency will be fully manifest in the movement, you see. He'll be fully present and fully manifested. That's why it's important that we cooperate together as a team. He one time told the GBCs, he says, none of you individually, but together you make me up. In other words, the potency of Prabhupada is not, you could, the point was Prabhupada saying, no one of you fully possess my potency. But when you work together, cooperatively, then my full potency is present in that synergy, you know, because of the synergy. So that's why it's very important we stick together. That's why it's very important we respect the GBC, even if we may not always agree with every resolution they pass. They don't always even agree with their resolutions, and they redo them sometimes. So the principle of sticking together under the guidance of the leadership is very important, because that gives us synergy through which Prabhupada then can act through our collective endeavor, the ISKCON enterprise. Prabhupada then can fully act in his potency, in the full potency of Jagadguru, Srila Prabhupada, then can manifest through our cooperation with each other. So in this way, Prabhupada then can actually, if we become completely surrendered instruments of Srila Prabhupada, then we can act. Of course, we should strive to purely represent Srila Prabhupada, because it is possible that we can, even one of us can fully represent Srila Prabhupada. It's possible, it's not impossible. It's a very tall order, no doubt, but each one of us should strive to purely represent Srila Prabhupada in all of our actions, our thoughts, and our deeds. Because if all of us are endeavoring to do that, Prabhupada will be very pleased and he'll shower mercy on all of us. So anyway, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah?
About the politicians and stuff, having them become Krishna conscious, so the rest of the world will follow.
If the politicians
become Krishna conscious, that we should preach to the politicians so they become Krishna conscious, and we can have a society that becomes Krishna conscious because they follow.
Yeah, if we preach to if the politicians become Krishna conscious, that will have a great impact. Just like when the emperor Ashoka was a powerful emperor in ancient India. When he became Buddhist, then all of India became Buddhist.
Isn't that same for Christianity also?
Huh?
Isn't that same for the Christianity also?
Christianity.
Yes, but in that case, they bastardized Christianity to please the emperor. That's not exactly the same. The emperor Constantine became a Christian, and of course, then became a huge thing. The Catholic, you know, it's like it's still there. The Catholic Church is the remnants of it. But they bastardized Christianity by turning it into a meat-eating religion at that time, because the emperor was a meat-eater.
today, the politician's position is very temporary.
Very
temporary.
That's right.
So they're very afraid. So they're at the mercy of the voters.
That's right. So the only way we can really solve the situation is to educate the voters. When you have a democracy like we do now in the Western country, the only way to successfully bring in Krishna conscious government is to educate the electorate. Otherwise, it'll never happen. The voters have to demand Krishna conscious leaders, you see. The people have to be educated when they go to vote. They have to go, well, who on this ballot is Hare Krishna and who isn't? I vote the Hare Krishna line. The voting booth. It has to come to that point where people will demand Krishna conscious leaders. If you're not Krishna conscious, I don't care how many promises you can make. You're nonsense, we don't want you. The voters have to take that. The voters have to be educated. That's why massive book distribution is very important. By putting on big festivals to attract the people. The most aggressive possible propaganda, college preaching to get the young people when they're still open to learn so they can read Prabhupada's books. The more we just have to preach, like anything. We have to make a huge noise for Prabhupada. And it's amazing that it could happen. See, we could have a huge impact. Even tiny little ISKCON, we could have a huge impact on the world. There was even a movie one time. It was a humorous movie, but it makes a point. It was a movie called The Mouse That Roared. There was a little tiny European nation. It was fictitious, but it was like, basically it was like a castle and maybe a few acres around the castle, and that was the whole nation. And all they had was some old spears. It wasn't like a high-tech military they had. They had a few old spears. Those old-fashioned, like medieval-type spears, long things. So anyway, they declared war on the United States. And they came in. I don't know how they came on a ship, a boat. I don't know. They came to America. It turned out to be some day when all of New York was shut down because of some reason, and they actually... So it's amazing, he actually took over, I forget how it actually happened, they actually somehow took over America. And at the end of the movie, showed one little mouse, going, ah. So it was a very funny movie, very humorous movie called The Mouse. It was a big hit in the box office back 40 years ago or something. The Mouse That Roared. And... So even though we're just little tiny mice, compared to the huge, gigantic, Ugra Karma civilization, Krishna can do a miracle, He can do a miracle. We just have to be qualified. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and when he was a young brahmachari in the early days of ISKCON, he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with him? You see? So Krishna can give us the leadership of this planet right now, today. It's a fact. In 1 minute, he can immediately give. But are we qualified to do it? We can't even manage our temples without arguing with each other. You see? So how can we expect that we could be given the charge to guide the leaders, just imagine if you be accepted as the... you're a big position now. The whole government looks to you. You have unlimited facility to money, to women, to prestige. You have so much honor and respect that you have unlimited facility to sense enjoyment. Will you fall down? You see, these rock stars who have so many women, they just become like sex maniacs, They have so much facility, they can't control themselves, and they just go wild, you see. People, it happens. People who have a lot of money, a lot of power and prestige, they'd get completely given, taken over by unlimited, you know, sex desires. They just go wild. They just go completely wild. They can't control themselves, you see. As soon as they have the facility, they immediately take advantage of it. So are we strong enough that if we have all facility, are we fixed in pure bhakti? Even if we had all, we had wealth, women and followers, unlimited facility for sense enjoyment, we wouldn't be interested. You see? So the real thing is, if we want to lead the world out of chaos, we have to qualify ourselves to be leaders. That's the real thing. We have to qualify ourselves to actually be leaders. And then when we're actually qualified, then Krishna will give us the whole, he'll give us the whole world. That's the thing. So the number one, so you got a world revolution right there in your bead bin, you see. Qualify yourself now as a pure devotee. What is the proof? Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that when, I can even read the exact quote and see, that'll make it even more potent. See if I can find it easily here. I don't know, I'll try. No, I can't find it. But Prabhupada says in the CC that when a devotee becomes completely pure chanter of the holy name, yeah, I found it. A sincere student, this is Adi 783, purport. A sincere student orally receives the holy name from the spiritual master. And after being initiated, he follows the regulative principles given by the spiritual master. When the holy name is properly served in this way, automatically the spiritual nature of the holy name spreads. In other words, the devotee becomes qualified to inoffenselessly chanting the holy name. When one is completely fit to chant the holy name in this way, he is eligible to make disciples all over the world, and he actually becomes Jagat Guru. Then the entire world under his influence begins to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this means if one can become a pure chanter of the name, then that one devotee can deliver the whole universe. So you want to deliver the universe? It's like to do that for Prabhupada? It's right there in your bead bag. How much you can take shelter of the holy name? Complete shelter. Complete shelter means namaparads finished, completely wiped out. So, the point is, to whatever extent you revolutionize your heart, to that extent you're empowered to revolutionize this universe. So it's pretty exciting, really. Prabhupada explains, Bhagir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingho, in a wonderful way in his purport in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. He translates it in this way. It's Sanskrit, it's very simple. Bahir Nasingha Hridaye. Bahir means outside, without, externally. Externally Nasingha and Hridaye, within the heart. It means Nasingha without, Nasingha within. Literally, that's all it says. But Prabhupada goes deep into the inner meaning. That's the exoteric translation. Without, externally Nasingha, internally Nasingha. That's the exoteric translation. Then there's the esoteric, or the inner meaning, which Prabhupada gives. He says, May my heart become completely clean. May Lord Nisringadev enter within my heart. So that my heart can become completely clean, and so that I can bring peace to the entire world. So, may Lord Nisringadev enter my heart, so it becomes completely purified, so that I can then manifest so that I can create a peaceful atmosphere in this world, you see. So that's within your own Krishna consciousness, that is Hridaye Nrisinga, and the ability, the empowerment to manifest a peaceful Vedic civilization externally by your preaching and by your example. That's Bahir Nrisinga. So it's a very interesting thing, and we sing it every day. Bahir Nrisinga, Hridaye Nrisinga. Nrisinga within, Nrisinga without. Nrisinga within means that we can, I have to become a pure devotee. Nrisinga without means we have to establish Vedic, create Vedic culture on this planet. That's Nrisinga without. Nrisinga externally. So if you get into this philosophy and you really understand what Prabhupada is talking about, your mind will just be absolutely amazed at every minute what's going on right now, right here, right now. The impact that you can have on world history just by transforming your own consciousness. There's no limit to how much impact any one of us can have on world history. All we have to do is sincerely strive for pure bhakti. That's all we have to do. And then there's no limit. Absolutely no limit on the impact that we can have on the world. We're transforming it as Prabhupada wants it to be transformed. So any other questions? Come here and tell me in my ear. Come here and tell me in my ear. Come here and tell me in my ear. I just can't.
How does Indradev suffer from...
Closer to my ear, okay.
How does Indradev suffer from material opulence in the heavenly planets? How come? Isn't that above... Material?
How did he suffer? Well, they were conquered by the demons.
But shouldn't they be above?
Huh?
Shouldn't they be above all sufferings?
Not in the heavenly planets.
Tell me in my ear.
Shouldn't they be above all the sufferings?
Indra?
Yeah.
No.
No.
The demigods... See, the demigods are often attacked by the demons and they always defeat them. But because of this offense against his Guru Maharaj Brihaspati, the demons conquer the demigods, which never... That doesn't generally happen because they're powerful. The power of good defeats the power of evil, you see. But because of this offense against Brihaspati, the demigods were conquered by the demons. It's a pretty miserable situation. They become conquered by the demon. Yeah.
In the verse, he says that I'm in the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
And then he says, but due to false prestige and opulence, I have offended my guru. But if he's in the mode of goodness, how can he offend his guru?
That's the difference between goodness and pure goodness. The material mode of goodness is distinguished from pure goodness by the partial presence of passion and ignorance. You understand? That if you have goodness and pure goodness, that means goodness is impure goodness. Obviously. Here's goodness on one side and here's pure goodness on the other side. What is the difference? Well, this goodness is impure goodness. You have impure goodness and pure goodness. How can goodness be impure? Because it has tinges of passion and ignorance mixed in with it. Don't we see it practically? Somebody does a mass, just like in Austin, one gentleman, I didn't have a picture of it here on the computer, but he took an airplane and flew. This is a few miles away from our house. He flew it right into the IRS, the government tax agency. He flew his airplane right in. He committed suicide and flew his airplane into the tax building where they processed the taxes. It's a big thing. And but everyone said he was such a nice fellow. He was in our rock band. He was really nice and he's really a nice guy. But one day he just got an airplane and committed suicide and flew it into the IRS building. You see, we see this again and again. Everyone said he was such a nice fellow. What happened to him? He snapped. He brought a gun to work. He shot about 30 or 40 people at the office, you know, and he committed suicide. And so it's like them. The mode of goodness means, well, you're pretty good, but you're not completely good. And you can snap, like Indra snapped here. He got so carried away, he was being worshipped, you know, and honored by all the demigods. And his Guru Maharaj comes in, he didn't even notice it. The spiritual master comes, and he's not even acknowledged as having arrived, you see, in the assembly. I mean, he was just completely ignored. The spiritual master of the demigods entered the assembly of the demigods, and he was completely ignored. He didn't do anything, he just left. But that was... Brihaspati didn't curse. No, he just left. He said, well, I just left. And the reaction it was very heavy because he was neglected. He didn't make any curse. But just the fact that he was neglected brought that heavy reaction. Yeah.
Sometimes when you get a position of management and it's gone, you sort of get a sort of sometimes, you know, pride and false prestige can come into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes you offered Ati first and then, you know, and then, you know, sort of all that sort of thing. And then that can have an influence on your mentality. You think you're better than the devotees or better than the sannyasis.
Gurus have to be careful of this also.
Yeah. So if you're not a proper devotee, not a proper devotee, you're practicing devotee, but if you feel you're immature is in spiritual advancement, should you avoid positions in management and things like that, or should you just be aware that this could happen and try and avoid being aware of being, you know, influenced by it?
Well, actually, the most qualified person to take that position is the one who is afraid of being in that position. He's the most qualified to be in that position. The one who is very eager to jump in to get the honor and respect, he's the one that's not so qualified. The one who is hesitant to take that position for fear of being carried away by false prestige, he's the most qualified person to take it. So if one has that hesitation, that's very good. We're going to put you in the position. because you understand the danger of that position. It's a fact, you know. So you get some big position. You know that Purna Musika Baba? You know that story? Yeah.
The mouse wants to be a
tiger. That little mouse, you see. Every time he went, he came out of his little hole in the wall. Every time he came out, the cat was there. And even little Morris had a hard time to get his meal. You see, every time he came out, the cat wanted to have him for lunch. But one day the cat was taking a nap, so he made a mad dash for the yogi's hut. In the village. Yogi, 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 help me, help me, help me. Every time I try to get a bite to eat, the cat wants to eat me, so what to do? Well, I can make you a cat. Would you like that? Yes? All right. Poof. Now you're a cat. Now I have no problem at all, you see. Ah, this is great. But then he met the dog. Oh. He ran up the tree, and then finally the dog left him alone. He went back to the yogi. Oh, yogi, now the dog is harassing. What to do? I can make you a dog. Yes, all right. Whoop, now you're a dog. You see. So, now it seems there's no problem. The cat doesn't bother him. The dogs don't bother him. Everything's cool. But then the Bengal tiger comes in, you know, the village looking for something to eat. And again, he's in total fear. He runs to the yogi. Is a tiger, what to do? Tiger, tiger. Well, I can make you a tiger. All right. Poof, now you're a tiger. So the tiger, he's a very ferocious animal, but he has one difficulty. Whenever he wants to go for his meals, his meal goes running as fast as possible in the opposite direction. In fact, there's a little bird in the jungle. He makes a signal. Pew, pew, pew. Whenever the tiger goes on his lunch break, the little bird makes a signal, and all the animals know the tiger's on this is the tiger's lunch break. So everybody goes heading for the hills, you know. Everybody goes in a mad exodus from that area because you know the tiger is on the prowl, you know. So the tiger, even though he's a very ferocious animal, he has a hard time getting his meals, you see. But now the tiger is sitting here in the hut with a nice plump yogi. And he's thinking, well, I can get my first meal here quite easily. Of course, the yogi is no dummy, you know. He's able to read the mind of the tiger. He's looking at, so he says, oh, you want to eat me? Tiger said, yeah. He said, punar music bava. Again, you become a mouse, you see. So what happens sometimes, you see, in our movement, somebody wants a big position. You know, yes, I want a big position. I want to be a sannyasi, I want to be a guru, I want to be a GBC, I want to go up the top of the ISKCON ladder of a big, big position. And then, again, become a mouse. It happens. It's happened quite a few times in our society. They give up, they become karmi again. You see? Become a little mouse. After being a big guru, GBC, sannyasi, they become a mouse. So it is dangerous.
So what is the remedy? What is the solution? What is how to avoid that, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to always remember that you're just a tiny, insignificant servant. That's all. You have to, whatever honor and respect, Prabhupada is the perfect answer for your question is to study Prabhupada. He never took credit. He said, I get no credit whatsoever for the success of this movement. I have no credit in this regard at all. If I have any credit at all, it is simply that I always remain the faithful servant of my spiritual master. I always obey his orders. But all the credit goes to him. So the thing is, don't ever take the credit. Always give the credit to your spiritual master and the previous acharyas, you see. Never take the credit for yourself. When things go wrong, take the credit. Take the blame. When things go right, say, it's not me. Many times people say, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, your class was so wonderful. I say, it was just Prabhupada's mercy. You know, it's not me. Somehow Prabhupada's mercy manifested. His mercy came through. I just try to get out of the way of Prabhupada's shakti, Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's teachings, so they can come through. I just try to get out of the way and not block them by arrogance, you know, by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So always give credit to your spiritual master and the previous acharyas. That's the key. Just be the obedient, sold-out servant of your Guru Maharaj. Always remember his instructions. And worship those instructions as your very life and soul. And then you'll be okay. Any other questions? Devi, you have something?
I just wanted to say, in this purport, a blessed ISKCON devotees also, those who had a lot of opulence, they went down. So we have to be very careful
of
when we have the opulence.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever opulence we have, we have to use it for Krishna. And then Krishna will give us more opulence. If we use opulence for sense gratification, you see, then we go down. Just like Krishna has given some nice opulence, that we have a very nice place to stay. So we think, oh, let's turn on the television. You see? Let's see what's happening with the World Cup. Huh?
There is a television.
See, Maharaj is so pure she didn't even notice there was one in the room.
I notice it.
So immediately think, oh, now let me enjoy. There's nobody around. No one knows I'm going to be sitting here watching some movies tonight. No one knows.
Supper.
We're far away from the temple. We can enjoy our senses.
Welcome.
All the devotees have been home and we're all alone here. Now we can sit down and enjoy some mundane movies. No, you see. Krishna knows. Thing is, we want to be so pure that Krishna can give us the whole world and he's here to engage in his service. So whatever he does give us, we have to use it in his service. It's like a household thing. Well, I'm married now, and even though the rule is, you know, sex is only for procreation, but, you know, we're alone here, nobody can see. We can enjoy it. My wife and I now, we can enjoy our senses. And not worry about it, because after all, we're householders, and Prabhupada said that householders are in Maya anyway, so, you know.
At least one time.
You know. And then one could think like that, you see. But then you're denying yourself the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, you see. Denying yourself the higher pleasure. If you want the higher taste, you have to give up the lower two. You have to walk away from them and say, well, even though my senses are itching, I'm not going to scratch them. I'm not going to scratch them. I'm just going to tolerate the itch and move to a higher level of consciousness. You see? One has to intelligently act in accordance with the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And never let your guard down. This is war, Prabhus and Mataji. This is war. We're at war with the material energy. If you let your guard down, even for 1 minute, you can be defeated. This was how the Texans won. They're in the state of Texas was formerly an independent country. They was part of Mexico, the nation of the South. It was part of Mexico, but some American settlers came and settled in the northern part of Mexico, and then later on they decided they didn't like the Mexican government, and they wanted to claim that as their own nation, and they actually succeeded in doing it by taking advantage of the Mexican army taking their midday nap without any sufficient guards. And they came charging in when the Mexican army was taking their midday nap, and they butchered them. But the Mexican army should have been thinking, well, this is war, and we have to always be on our guard. They let their guard down, you see. And the Texans came in and defeated them, and they let down their guard. So we should never let down our guard like the Mexican army did, you see. Then the Maya can defeat us. We should always have to always be vigilant that I don't become given to the material nature. Material nature is there. Of course it is Maya's. She's a pure devotee, but it's her job to test us and see if we're actually pure. Even there's an example like that in the Bible. Lord Jesus went out and fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan came and was tempting him in so many ways. And there's a famous verse in the Bible. Christ says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, get out of here, you rascal." You know, like that. I don't want your temptations. I just want bhakti. I don't want sense enjoyment. Get out of here. You see, that's what we have to move. It has to be. Maya can give us so many allurements, but no, not interested. Get out of here. Go jump in the Ganges. So in this way, you see, we have to prove Krishna that we're pure, that we are pure in our desire. We are nothing but Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Speaking of the Ganga,
yeah,
like in Gujarat we call it the Ganga. I don't know if other people call it the Ganga. Is the term for Ganga Devi Ganga, or is it Ganges? Like the Ganges, is it actually a Vedic term, or is it a term that's...
This is a technical question. I don't know the answer.
It's Ganga.
It's Ganga. Mm. So Ganges is...
Ganges is British.
The Britishers, the Britishes. It's again a Britishized version of Ganga.
English version of Ganga.
You could do something like that. You could look up. Wikipedia might have that. You just try Googling Ganges and see what it's, you might find an explanation. There's all these scholarly, mundane scholarly explanations on Wikipedia. You might look up Ganges and see what Wikipedia has to say about it. You might get some technical information there. That maybe some valid information might be there in this program. Anything else? Yes.
Can we pray to Maya Devi and ask her not to disturb us? And
sure. Why not? Why not, Maya Devi? I know you're a pure devotee. I know you're just testing me now. But you know, give me a break, will you? Why not? There's no harm. She's a pure devotee. I don't see any harm in praying like that.
Wouldn't it be better to pray to Krishna? Take this your Maya away from me?
Huh?
Wouldn't it be better to pray to Krishna? Take this your Maya away from me?
Wouldn't it be better to pray to Krishna?
Very close to Maya.
Because he said yoga.
Yeah, but our standard thing is praying to Krishna. Right. Prabhupada never told us to pray to Maya. I don't know whether there's any, there may be some prayer like that somewhere. I mean, you could do, but it's not the standard practice. I would introduce it as part of our sadhana. I mean, you could do it. You can. There's nothing philosophically incorrect in it, but it's not our. It's not the general. It's not the standard practice. So the general standard, we pray to Krishna to release us from clutches of the material nature. But one could do that. There's nothing philosophically incorrect. My dear material energy, please. My dear Maya Devi, please free, release me from your clutches and let me be, bless me, I can be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Nothing wrong. Anything else?
Because Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi hai shagunamai.
What's that?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi hai shagunamai,
gunamai,
yayati. Devi hai shagunamai, mama maya nurataya. Yeah. But he says, if you sign down to me,
verse, Devi hai shagunamai, mama maya nurataya, yama meva ye prapadyante, maya metam taramti te. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond him.
So yeah. That's what Krishna's saying to not be influenced by Maya, to surrender unto me. No? That's the process. Krishna's explaining the Bhagavad Gita. It's just that.
Surrender unto Krishna.
Anything else? All questions are answered now. Everyone's ready for pure devotional service. Henceforward, no more compromising with Maya. I'll make a deal with you, Maya. 100% bhakti, everyone's ready now. 100% bhakti. Nothing but pure bhakti. The thing is, if we make that determination, even if you slip, you see, we make that determination from now on, I want nothing except for pure devotional service with my every thought, word and deed in all times, places and circumstances. You make that determination, even if you don't do it perfectly, you can always reaffirm say, Krishna, please bless me that henceforward I have everything is completely pure. My every thought, word and deed is completely pure. Even if you slip, you can reaffirm that desire with Krishna again and again and again and again. And if you keep doing that, you'll reach a point where it actually becomes fully manifested. You see? So we should strive for pure bhakti. I give these seminars, pure devotional service seminars sometimes. just gave one in South Africa, 8 hours of talking about pure devotional service.
Did you have one here last
time? Last year. Your last visit, we had the seminar.
We had one here too.
Yeah,
yeah, they wanted 8 hours in South Africa. 8 hours of pure devotional service. We had four sessions of 2 hours each. You think, well, what? How much can I say about pure devotional service? I mean, you could think you might become one could become bewildered. How can I possibly go on? I didn't have any notes or outline either. I just started talking. How you could possibly go on talking about pure devotional service for 8 hours? You could think, well, actually, the fact is the glories of pure devotional service are unlimited. You could talk about pure devotional service for 8 million hours. That's the actual reality. 8 hours is nothing. It's just getting warmed up. 8 billion. Why 8 million? 8 trillion hours. Pure devotion. 8 billion lifetimes we could talk about pure devotional service. There's no limit to its glories, you see. Absolutely no limit. There's nothing. Why is pure devotional service so glorious? Because by pure devotional service, Krishna, you purchase Krishna. Just imagine the glories of pure devotional service. The one who has pure devotional service, you can attract Krishna. That person who is the attractor of everything, he'll become attracted by you if you become the pure devotee. So, now that we're talking about pure devotional service, now we will also engage in pure devotional service. You have a final question?
Yes, I have this one.
All right.
It's just that how to get over that enjoyment propensity.
That's an enjoyment propensity. That's a natural thing.
So how to get over
it? How to get out of it?
Well, yeah,
no, don't get out of it. Just purify it. You can't give up your enjoying propensity. It's not possible. You just have to spiritualize it. Instead of trying to enjoy being the center of the creation, you enjoy being the servant, the person who is the center of the creation. That's all. We never say give up enjoying mood. We say purify your enjoying mood. Learn how to actually enjoy. We will train you, teach you how to taste unlimited pleasure, millions and billions of times more enjoyment than even the pleasure of being Indra, the king of the demigods. We're going to show you how to expand your enjoyment millions and billions of times. We don't tell you to give up enjoying. We tell you how to actually enjoy. You see, right now you're thinking you'll enjoy the sweet rice by... Right now you're sitting here, there's a mirror here, you're trying to enjoy the sweet rice by putting it in the reflection of your mouth in the mirror. You can't enjoy it. Actually, Prabhupada gives a very graphic example in this connection. It's pretty graphic, but I'll use it because it's Prabhupada. When people have sex, they undress. Because uncovered enjoyment is real enjoyment. If you try to have sex pleasure with your clothes on, it's not the same. Very graphic example, but... So there's covered enjoyment and there's uncovered enjoyment. You see, material enjoyment is covered enjoyment. I'm covered by this material body and I'm trying to enjoy through the covering of the material body, but it's not real enjoyment. But naked enjoyment, that is real enjoyment, you see. Instead of trying to enjoy through these senses, which are like getting in the way of the enjoyment, get enjoy beyond the senses. And that's devotional service. It's a pretty graphic example. Okay. But it's a really good example. It's a good example. So, speaking about naked enjoyment, it's time for devotional service now. I have some service to do for the deities. So we'll stop here. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
It's great. Sankarsan Prabhu Ki Jai.